we started to see searches related to like cowboy boots on sites that didn't traditionally get searches for cowboy boots. And merchandise, like, what's going on? And people were going to the Taylor Swift concert and needed cowboy boots. So you're going to start to see these trends pop up that aren't always related to what you have to offer and the experiences that you are driving, but that's going on in pop culture as well.
Today, we are talking about the rise of experience retail. I'm your host, Elena Kachan, Community Marketing Manager at Bloomreach, and I'm joined by two incredible experts in the space. And we're talking all about the hype around retail experiences. Of course, AI, and how you can maximize trends to drive more engagement for your brand across the board. Ladies, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Yes. And I'm so excited to get into this conversation with you all because you both have tons of experience in the space. And I'm going to hype you up a little bit. Christy Augustine, she serves as the Chief Operating Officer, leading Bloomreach efforts to arm customers with the tools and knowledge they need to successfully compete in demanding markets. She's a thought leader in e-commerce, and she's been a manager at Bain & Co., focused on technology, retail, and strategy prior to joining Bloomreach. And she's also a computer programmer who's concentrated on site search. She's got experience in merchandising and payments, and she helped found the e-commerce teams at both Hewlett-Packard and Walmart. So tons of experience there. I'm excited to get your take. And then we have Stephanie Rosenberg. So she's got almost 20 years of experience in the retail space. She's got an impressive resume working at various retailers such as Macy's, Bloomingdale's, Ross, and she's worked cross-functionally in different aspects from merchandising to strategy to operations, all within the merchandising and marketing departments. So, ladies, I'm excited to get into this with you. This topic is so near and dear to my heart because I love pop culture and retail experiences. So let's get into it. Okay, so I want to start with the fact that you guys might all be wondering, what is experience retail? And we kind of want to break it down for you guys. And obviously, you both have experience in this space. But maybe, Christy, you can kick us off and talk about why we are focusing on experience retail and what people should know about this term in particular.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think it's such a fun phenomenon that we started to really see in 2023 at a bigger level than we'd seen before, and is going to change and is changing retail. And so we really started to see this pop up in much of the Bloomreach shopping data. And of course, you saw it start to happen in pop culture, where people are not only shopping anymore for the goods and services that they need, but are surrounding themselves in entire experiences. And you saw it really start to happen over the summer with Taylor Swift and her Eras Tour and people dressing up and going all out for the concert. Not just, of course, dressing up for themselves, but making friendship bracelets and sharing those with strangers. And you also started to see it with the Barbie movie and people dressing up and wearing pink to the Barbie movie. And if you think back like several years ago, when you'd go to the movies, people weren't dressing up to go to the movies, right? And so the type of retail that retailers are enabling and preparing for and merchandising for is not only what are those goods and services that people normally need in their lives, and I'm going to go buy an outfit for work, but the culture now is to be immersed in the experience and to show up fully for the experience. So how do retailers factor that in to their merchandising strategy, to their planning? Stephanie, I know you have experience with this over last year as well. Maybe you can share some of concrete examples as well that you've seen.
Yeah. So thanks, Christy. I would say that like retail has always been so experience-based. You walk into a store, you need to be inspired as the retailer, right? Like as the customer, you want to make sure that you're keeping them engaged and keeping everyone excited about what it is that you're showing them in the stores, whether it's product or experience. More recently, we've seen, to your point, these experiences really become almost four-dimensional, right? And like we're immersing ourselves from the smells, the taste, the sounds, all a part of it. So like some of the stuff that we've been doing with the Barbie movie, for instance, is taking a whole floor and making it pink, right? From floor to ceiling, having that box that she almost goes into in the movie, having that box and being able to have customers go in and take selfies and like see themselves as Barbie, having additional product capsules that are being offered that are not just, you know, the traditional brands, but how are brands representing Barbie? But then also how are those specific product specific types of goods being offered, whether it's your name tag in the Barbie font or whatever that may be. So there's like a lot of really exciting ways to become immersed in those different cultural phenomenons that are happening, whether they're the Taylor Swift's, the Barbie or Troll movie. You know, we did a similar window takeover of that.
I love that you said that because I feel like post-pandemic, there's been this surge of needing to live it up in the moment, do it for the plot. It's maybe a new view of consumerisms. And I think people are spending more on these experiences versus goods. So I feel like brands are kind of recognizing that. And it obviously makes shopping way more fun when you have that experience and you can talk about it online and you can share that you were there. And I think it's a great opportunity for retailers to get creative. But do you both feel like there is a lot of demand on retailers to kind of meet consumer expectations across the board? I'm curious to hear maybe, Stephanie, with your experience, is that something that they have to keep up with? Is that something that's top of mind for them?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, continuing to meet the customer is probably one of the biggest challenges that retailers are facing. Integrating the customer insights, integrating product recommendations, all of those various technologies that you can really use to make the most out of your product or out of your merchandising assortment can get very hard to integrate all that information and be able to make the most of it.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you're looking at what you were doing before, which is very attribute-based type of merchandising, making sure you have the right goods and services for seasonality and what people are shopping for. But now adding on a layer that I'm going to be looking feeling-based, experience-based type of shopping where the data that I need to do an effective job is different now. The foundation stays the same, of course, for what you were doing, but you've kind of added on this layer that is not only kind of attribute what someone's looking for, but a bundling related to an experience of what I'm looking for. And so the types of data that I need and the forecasting and the forethought that I need is going to be very, very different than I think we've seen in the past. I'm not sure really that if you kind of rewound back that you would be taking into account concert schedules into what my merchandising or my content strategy or my email campaigns were going to look like related to my calendar. And now you need to take that into account. Or anecdotally, you know, we started to see searches related to like cowboy boots on sites that didn't traditionally get searches for cowboy boots and merchandise, like what's going on? And people were going to the Taylor Swift concert and needed cowboy boots. So you're going to start to see these trends pop up that aren't always related to what you have to offer and the experiences that you are driving, but that's going on in pop culture as well. So I think just requires a different type of thinking to incorporate into what you're already doing.
Yeah, there's definitely that balance between the reactive and the planning that needs to happen. And it, you know, back in the day when you would leave 10% open to buy, right? To be reactive or something is so small. Now it's really much bigger that you need to be able to balance that with like what's happening in the moment, along with where that your core customer is really looking for product-wise.
That brings me to my next thought. And as someone who isn't chronically online, I hate to say it, but I am very much a consumer of social media content. And I feel as if brands are having to keep up with the way things look, not only in real life, but how it's going to present on social media. Obviously, at Bloomreach, even we're thinking about how can we make this an experience for people to remember? And then how can we also get them to talk about it after the fact? So it also creates this longevity that brands are having to tap into. So it's not just, you know, you're spending all this money for, you know, the whole floor to be pink. And it's a moment when you have to be there to experience it. Like you want it to feel immersive even online. Is that something, Stephanie, you're seeing or thinking about? How are your teams looking at that extension from brick and mortar to the online experience?
Yeah, no, a good point. Absolutely. So like, and having that omni-channel, like no matter where the customer is, you're meeting that customer with what that moment is. So when like you think about the flower show that's done at like the flagship stores at Macy's, like if you have a brand or multiple cosmetic brands taking over the homepage day by day as that flower show is happening, it really takes you and lets you feel like you're there, whether you're actually in the store or just online. And we're seeing a lot more interest in brands doing those takeovers of retailers that might be multi-brand type of stores or department stores.
Even just partnerships to maximize the hype. I think that's always smart, especially in marketing and merchandising. So it's not just your audience that's seeing it. You're introducing yourself and your brand to a whole new audience when you do collaborations, and that's becoming more of a thing too. So maybe, Christy, you have some thoughts on the social aspect, but also maybe that too.
We just talked about why this is about to be hard and how you need more data and you need to factor in more to your job and no one has more time. So this concept that like you do not have to do it by yourself. Who are you collaborating with? Who are you building partnerships with, whether it's with brands, other retailers potentially, or what influencers or social media strategy do you have? This doesn't have to be, I'm doing it all by myself, but bringing those collaborators together. And then the exciting thing I think here is that you're basically evoking a lot more emotional buy-in with your consumers. So you're taking this from purely transactional, which was I go to your site and I buy something. I'm buying a pair of jeans. And do you have the right ones that I'm looking for at the right price? I'm going to buy it. Great. And the experience mattered of that. How easy was it to an emotion of, well, actually, I'm getting ready to go to this concert that I'm really excited about. And now you're part of that as a retailer. You're part of my experience. And that is evoking a lot more emotion that's going to lead you to the customer retention and loyalty if you're able to pull that off. If you're able to have those partnerships and the social media presence, if you're able to do your merchandising and content related not only to the products, but to the experiences that are coming in pop culture and that people are preparing for, then it's just going to drive more affinity than we were able to see before.
The only thing I would add is the rise of live shopping that we're seeing. Every website, right, is doing their version of a live shopping. And that really goes to your point, Christy, of like extending the community and making the people watching a part of the community. But then you can also bring in all of these influencers and their take on the, you know, new line of clothing at any store or the new trend. It's like another extension and another way of evoking that emotion and getting people to be brought in, which I think is, you know, we're going to see a lot more of that as we go.
Yeah, I got to say, I would have loved, we are seeing more of that. That's becoming a lot more prevalent. I would have loved to have seen that last year. You know, as you're getting ready for these experiences that you're going to in your dressing, I could have used advice, right? Like you want to make it easier for your consumer. Don't make me go figure out exactly what outfit I should be wearing to Barbie or what outfit I'm trying to buy for my husband to go see Barbie with our family. Right? Help me with that experience. And that's one of the cool things about live shopping is you're engaging and you can have more conversation, right? But you can be sharing more as the live shopping's going on that can engage your customers and help them with this. I think it can be just as daunting on the consumer to know that now every event I'm going to, I'm probably getting a particular outfit for. And so you have an opportunity to make it a lot easier.
As someone who likes to look at influencers for inspiration. And if I am planning on going to an event, and like you said, you just kind of need a little bit of help and you want to see what someone else is doing. I think that's the cool part about fashion. And obviously retail is beyond fashion, but that's just one example. But brands who are actually activating with influencers that people, like they're building communities too. So how can you tap into their community where they trust the influencer and it's driving sales like no other? Like people are buying from influencers in droves. We're also seeing too that maybe macro influencers are getting passed by while micro influencers are developing communities that are highly engaged. So it just totally depends on what you're going for. But I think brands who actually understand that people are shopping in such a different way now, and you you could be in the store and you can have one experience, and you could be online and you can have a very similar experience. And I love the idea of meeting people where they are, because you could be an introvert and you could still want that experience, but maybe you just don't want to be at the location taking selfies and photos in front of the photo booth. But you might tune in to a live shopping experience on TikTok Shop, and you can see someone literally trying on the outfit that you want to buy. And it makes it, I mean, TikTok Shop is dangerous, y'all. For those who are watching, dangerous. But I think it's interesting that live shopping is kind of mimicking the in-person experience, but trying to make it reasonable for people who might not be in the room. Creating that FOMO too is very important. I don't know if you guys experience this at all, but speaking from my experience.
What you're bringing up as well is there's increasing number of channels that you have an opportunity to engage your customers with, but also that is very complex to manage, right? So TikTok certainly opened up their shop this past year. They've come out and said that they are expecting it to 10x this year. So you can expect that your consumers are over there engaging with the shop, and that that's going to be more prevalent. And so you do have this complexity that has just grown over time, which is an explosion of channels that you can engage your consumers in, and that they're going to be there. So factoring in not only your on-site experience and your partnerships, but how am I showing up on Instagram? How am I showing up everywhere? I think is something to continue to explore. As a consumer, it's amazing because I can get inspiration anywhere. Right? Mm-hmm. Or I can be engaged with anywhere and where I'm at, which could be in the line at the grocery store, right? As I'm on my phone and I don't actually have to be in the store. But as a merchandiser or a marketer, that's a lot to contend with. Not only am I showing up presently, but as a consumer, I certainly don't want to receive an email, 5 Instagram ads, get pinged on SMS, and then walk into a store and be treated completely differently than I did before. So that kind of seamless experience as I'm coming in all looking for the same thing, I think is something that people are going to have to manage too now.
That's a very big challenge. I agree. I think that, like, you know, the traditional retailing, it was easy, right? You allocated the goods. You said you were going to have 5 emails this week, maybe have another ad in one other media. But now, taking all of those customer touch points and prioritizing them by customer and by product, I think is becoming harder and harder, but more important, because you don't want to inundate the customers. That no one wants overreach of that. But taking that and putting a plan together that's really comprehensive to where the customer needs to be met and when and where is more and more challenging as there's more of these moments, because your moment might be different than my moment of what's going to really heighten me and get me excited. So it's not just even taking the tactics, it's also taking the real-time marketing or what's happening culturally into account.
I think while it's so daunting, what I'm most excited about is this is exactly the point in time where technology and then this experience retail are converging. Mm-hmm. So the fact that I think we'll see two shifts in the technology space in the retailers. One is you have over time had this proliferation of vendors that you would see, you know, best of breed for every single channel. But as consumers are going and as consumers are going to more and more channels, and there are more channels that are being added, you just can't continue to have a best of breed approach to every single channel with technology that doesn't talk to each other. So I think we will start to see much more tech stack consolidation, more platform play, just because by the nature of it, you're going to need one set of data. You're going to need one application or set of a platform that will handle all of these. And then two, you have generative AI, which will allow for much more robust interactions in conversational search or conversational experiences on websites. You're going to end up with a lot more personalization ability than you could have before, because the technology is there to enable us. So I'm mostly really excited about this because this is all happening at just the perfect time for the technology to enable it.
You took the words right out of my mouth. So I'm so glad you touched on that. I love it because I was just about to say technology is making it a lot easier for us to give that personalized experience. And I do think we'll see a little bit of a consolidation. So if you're a merchandiser or a marketer, it's like, yeah, how can I make my life easier is probably top of mind. I'm curious to hear what, Stephanie, you think about how AI could potentially help address maybe the concerns or not even concerns, but just like this challenge that we're facing of needing to reach people and not sure what time and not sure why and when and all of that stuff. So have you seen any examples of where that's coming into play from a retailer side?
I mean, I think that as retailers, we always like want to make sure we're hitting the customer in all the places that like, and last year-itis is like always something that comes to mind. You know, I had 5 ads this last year. I'm like, I need 5 this year. But to your points, you know, let the technology do what it's meant to do. You put in all of the data of the customers, you put in all of the marketing that you have, and really let the technology take what's being segmented to what customer and when and where, because that's going to, we have to kind of like cut off the effort to make sure that it's worthwhile what we're putting out there. And I think that there's a lot that the technology can just do for us. As far as like the AI stuff that we've been able to really optimize is that content creation, right? Like you don't need to make 10 variations for every customer segment. Let the variations be driven by the technology so that if you are really going to be converted by a shirt, but I might be by a sweater, then I want you to get the shirt. I want me to get the sweater. And having those variations not take marketers or creative people having to do individually, but the technology does automatically. That's a huge opportunity to be able to get everything out there to no matter what customers are looking for.
Totally. We have to be thinking about streamlining the process on the back end as marketers and merchandisers, but also streamlining and making the seamless experience for the consumer. So it's like, we're all trying to just like make everything not have any friction whatsoever on both fronts. And I almost feel like as a consumer, you do have this high expectation for every retailer and every brand to just get you and to like understand you right off the bat and give you this, extremely personalized experience. Are you seeing that a lot with consumers from your side? Maybe Christine, you have a thought on this too, but I'm very curious. It's just evolving. The Amazon effect is real and just kind of having that permeate in other spaces is top of mind.
What personalization means to a customer is different to each customer, right? So like Amazon does a great job, obviously, of giving you product recommendations. And I don't know about you, but I feel like, oh my God, they get me. Like I just bought that. Like, and they're suggesting something else. But you really think about personalization, I don't want Amazon to recommend something that I bought a few weeks ago. What I'd really like Amazon to recommend is say, hey, I just bought a bed and now you need sheets and now you might need new pillows because I got a king size bed instead of and I had a queen size. So I think that like the expectation of what we're being offered as customers is evolving. And as we see certain stores really stepping up the game, that's really, you know, going to continue and evolve.
And you notice when a brand stands out, when they go above and beyond, right?
Sure do.
Very true. And I think we need to remember, like, personalization has been talked about for a long time. One-to-one personalization. I want the store to know me. But in the past, the technology has been very attribute-driven. The recommendations are very attribute-driven, right? I bought a dress, so maybe want some shoes. So very category attribute, kind of product related. And now with the amount of customer and product data that we have, not only do I think we can do a great job at personalization and one-to-one personalization, that's been the holy grail, but we have to remember to inspire people. So if you have these experiences that now people are buying for, I can tell you that absolutely none of the retailers that I've ever shopped at probably expected me to go to the Taylor Swift concert. Like I'm not, right? I'm not the demographic. I probably was not buying the clothes, but I do have a teenage daughter and went. And that's where you need to be inspiring people and understand kind of what is going on in the market and be there for the consumer that, yes, I want you to know who I am and have one-to-one personalization, but I also, everyone is also evolving and the experience retail is evolving. And so I want the one-to-one personalization for sure. And I want you to make my life easier, particularly maybe if I'm a grocery retail, I absolutely want the cart there that says, do you just want to buy your previous purchase? Yes. Yes, I do want the milk and the eggs and like make this really easy. But also, like, I'm really sick and tired of eating chicken every week. Maybe you want to, like, inspire me a bit. And same with apparel, same with all of the retail. This really is about the consumer, right? Mm-hmm. The person and the human. And I'm most excited that we can get to that with generative AI and in the future get to more inspiration and feeling and how do I want to be and be more human than in the past where we've just been very attribute driven. Sure, I only buy black kitten heel shoes or something. Just show me more of those. The very attribute-based and not a whole person experience.
As someone who manages, you know, our customer community, that's something that we have to consistently consider. It's like, how can I get you guys all back in a room? I want to make sure that everything that we did last year for you, is that still working? Is that not working? What do you want? What do you want to see? So this could be a great opportunity for brands to tap into their community and see if they talk back as well, because we have to recognize that we're not going to be the same people forever. Like the people who were once teenagers are now young adults. Are they still thinking about the same things that they were when we were targeting them before? So I love that you talked about the evolution of human behavior and human consumption, but then also, you know, retailers just have to stay on their toes.
Well, and you mentioned inspire, and that's so important, right? These experience retail lets you inspire the customers, whether they're in the store, whether they're online, whether, you know, whatever platform online. So I think that the inspiration of it all is becoming more and more important.
I agree. And that's the fun part of the job, right? Yeah. The fact that we can have this technology that takes the portions of the job that was very rote and very, yes, I need to set this up and I need to set up the rules for the recommendations and actually take that off the plate and allow our merchandising and marketing teams to be more inspirational. That's the fun part of all of it.
And that's where you come up with really cool ideas, and all these brands are looking to stand out. And so letting your team cook a little bit and come up with new cool ideas, because you kind of have to be at the forefront of telling a consumer, maybe you actually do kind of want to try this Taylor Swift outfit who might be attending with her 18-year-old daughter. You just never know. So I love that, you know, those are all of our references today, but it's top of mind because it's like she's taking over not only in music, but the NFL too. So it's, she's all over our screens and it's top of mind. But I think a lot of retailers, maybe you guys can agree, that can learn a lot from people who are doing it well like that. Beyonce is also someone who's built a community around her brand and giving people an experience. I know a lot of it I'm seeing in musical artists, but like when you see creatives, you know, you're competing with creatives who are offering these experiences. How can you step it up a bit on your own page or partner with them and like double your star power? So I love that we've talked about both too. Ladies, this conversation has been so fun. It's got me fired up. I do want to leave our audience with a couple pieces of advice. You two are very experienced and I'm curious to hear what you have to say. But is there anything you want to leave retailers and marketers or anybody watching with as it relates to experience retail and everything that we've talked about today?
When I'm thinking about 2024 priorities, if I were to give you two for those, one is leveraging generative AI even for your teams. Not even do you need to get into kind of the e-commerce experience pieces yet, but how can I leverage it for my teams so that they are freed up to drive more of the inspiration and the strategy pieces of the job so they can be more productive, but also focus on what we've just talked about, which is experience retail. And two, really taking a look at kind of the tech stack that you have. And have you created so many silos by adding the channels over time? The really 2024 is the time to take a look at that tech stack and say, does it all talk to each other? Can I actually do one-to-one personalization or meet the customer at all the channels and have the same message? And look at what is that strategy for 2024 so that you can deal with kind of all of the channels that are being added, all of the different experiences our customers are having, and you can have that seamless view.
What I would add to that is looking at the cultural moments, right? We know that they have the fiscal calendar. On top of that, we have the human calendar. And now we are really adding those cultural moments to the calendar and trying to see where you can offer product extensions to really speak to those cultural moments, whether to the Taylor Swift theme, offering friendship bracelets now. That might have been a category that was not a part of the business, but there's so many ways to extend the product capsules with these cultural moments. And then the other piece is, you know, retail is like theater. You set it up, you inspire, you get people excited, and you bring them back. So don't forget how theatrical importance of the whole retail experience is, and have fun with it, because retail is fun.
Retail is fun. And I hope you guys all got something out of this. I know I did. And ladies, thank you so much for the great conversation and the great tips. We will see you next time. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you.